Good afternoon, Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. I have asked Scott Neely to stay with us for the second hour today. I am outraged if you're just joining us and you missed the first hour of the program today. The state GOP has barred two legally qualified Republican gubernatorial candidates from the upcoming debates. That's the 13th of June.
The 13th and the 18th of June. These are authorized Arizona GOP debates paid for by the Arizona GOP and hosted and moderated by Kelly Ward.
This is criminal, as far as I'm concerned. You know, our party, a lot of media people in it, have complained for the last couple of years about the way the establishment corporate news media had ignored the Hunter Biden case. There even are surveys out now that had that been the case, Trump would have gotten, I think one of the studies said he would have gotten 15% more vote and would have won. The fact that he didn't is a travesty. But in this particular case, this Republican state GOP debate exclusion is itself a travesty. Now, I know that Kelly Ward thinks that she's a power not unlike Noriega or somebody else of that ilk, maybe Putin. Hey, is anybody more unpopular than
Kelly Putin? Kelly Putin.
Anybody more unpopular than Putin in Arizona? Yeah, Kelly Ward. Kelly, I hear, is from Lake Havahu City. Kelly, go back! Anyway, here's the thing. This is an outrage. Republican voters should be able to see all of the candidates who legally qualified. And in this particular circumstance, that would include Scott Neely, Paul Matuliani Zen, plus the three that are apparently going to be in the debate, Carrie Lake, Karen Robeson, and Matt Salmon, that are apparently going to be in the debate. But all of these candidates deserve to be in the debate. Kelly Ward, let me tell you something. I don't know you. I am not one of the media sycophants of the Republican Party. I'm a Republican, but I'm not a media sycophant of the Republican Party. I want to see my party do the right thing. And if you don't, I'm going to be the burr under your saddle. You can just pretend I'm a Democrat. I'm going to give you a shiv on this show every afternoon until you correct this. This is an outrage. Okay, Scott Neely, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you want to add to that
before we
move on and do something that Carrie Lake isn't able to do, and that is talk issues?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah. She's got talking points, Trump talking points, that she took from Trump that Trump told her to repeat like a parrot.
Yeah.
She does it well. She does read teleprompters well. I got to give it to her.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you one question here.
Yeah.
How come you're not down at Mar-a-Lago or at the Derby and things like that? How come you're not out there with the beautiful people?
Listen, as much as I love Trump, I have no reason to be at Mar-a-Lago. I'm running for Arizona governor. I'm focused on a race for Arizona governor. That's
and
my
Mar-a-Lago
only
is where?
Focus. Mar-a-Lago's in Florida.
Oh, it's not here?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
My only focus is Arizona, and the rural communities need help. The rural communities need repairs of roads and bridges and things, and I visit rural communities. I don't just focus on Maricopa County and Pima County. I visit rural communities. And while Carrie Lake is in Florida, I'm in rural communities.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to them about their issues.
Yeah.
So.
No, and in Churchill Downs, is that in Arizona?
No, not at all.
No, it's not?
No.
It's
was that the Kentucky Derby? Yes, yes.
Okay.
There we go.
Uh-huh. I just thought I'd ask. Yeah. I have these questions.
$75,000 to get in there. I wonder where she got the money.
Yeah. You were talking about the rural sections of the state.
Yeah.
If you look at a lot of the studies of growth in the state, studies conducted by the Carey School, and if you look at those, the growth is all in Maricopa County and Pima County.
Yes. I would say they're saying 200 a day are moving to just Maricopa County, And 100 a day are moving to the rest of the state. That's 300 people a day are moving here. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. But it's also a case of where the growth in terms of jobs is all in Maricopa and
Pima. It's all concentrated in Maricopa and Pima, I would say, mostly.
Yeah. Which means, you know, things in certain parts of the state, especially northern part of the state, are potentially rough.
Or even the furthest southern parts of the state are rough. Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll get rougher with things that will be happening in the economy, because as bewildering as this may be to you and to me, the Biden administration seems to think that everything associated with the inflation number is Putin's fault.
Yep, it's all Putin's fault. That's a total lie.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. It's all related to his policy changes. When you shut down pipelines and you shut down oil and natural gas and exploration and you shut down permits and you shut down Alaskan oil fields, I mean, it's almost like you're a bigger enemy of the United States than Putin is.
Yep.
And then you're buying oil from Putin. What the heck are you doing, man? Who paid you, Biden? Who paid you?
Well, we can give you a list of that.
Yeah, we've got that
list.
As
long as you ask.
Yeah, we got that list.
In fact, Biden must have conversations with Hunter at this point. Hunter, we're on the wrong side of this. We got you on the board of Burisma for about, you know, 70, 80 large a month. And maybe we should have done more with Russia. We only got 3.5 million from the wife of the mayor of Moscow.
Yeah.
But Dad, we got however much we got from
$1.5 billion from the Chinese hedge fund. Yeah.
$1.5 billion
investment from the Chinese hedge fund.
Now I got a name that begins with a B, but the last name that begins with a B, but it should have been Biden.
And that laptop from hell, the things that are on it are ungodly. Yeah. They're Luciferian. The things that are on that laptop are Luciferian in nature, honestly. Yeah. Sad.
So let's dig into some issues here again. Scott Neely is with us. Folks, I want you to pick up the phone and call these nincompoops with the – and, Scott, I want to drag you into this. It's just I have so little tolerance for stupidity when it comes to this. This is wrong on so many different levels. You and Paula Tuliani Zen should be in these debates. The exclusion of candidates who met the signature requirement on the part of voters and citizens in the state is just wrong. But let me move on, and I'll try and be as professional as I can be, which is a tall task today, considering how angry I am at this point. But let's take a look at the issue that is percolating at this point. I went through back in the late 70s and in the early 80s. I went through the Reagan recession. I went through the inflationary period with Carter. And it's gonna get bad. I don't know what they think could be done to slow this down. They've also redefined things like the consumer price index. So it's actually, if you go back and use the old calculation, it's worse than it appears to be. And the way it appears to be is worst in 40 years. But what do you perceive as a businessman and operator of three companies? What do you perceive is the state of our economy? And what do we need in the next governor of Arizona to be able to get us through this?
You need somebody that can negotiate with people, that can deal with the shortage issues. I've got the president of CEMEX in my cell phone. I can call him anytime.
And CEMEX is?
CEMEX. That's Cement Mexico, but they're headquartered in the United States. They're an American company now, but originally they came here from Mexico. They produce a lot of the Portland cement in South America and Mexico, and then train load it to the borders and then bring it across. For whatever reason, there's probably 100 trainloads of Portland cement on the other side of the border between Arizona and Mexico. They're not bringing those trainloads of Portland. I don't know why. I'm not sure why. Their illegals are coming in. That's not a problem, but the cement's not coming in. I don't know what the holdup is on that. But and then here in the United States, they shut down the Navajo generating station. We used to take that fly ash that was made there, and we used to blend it with concrete, which lowers the amount of Portland cement you need, you know, per yard in the cement. You can blend it with the fly ash as a filler. Fly ash as a filler, they're allocating that for certain government jobs now because there's not much left. And Navajo Generating Station was torn down. I helped revamp and revitalize that thing 10 years ago. It was supposed to be good for 20 more years, and now they've, I think it was about a year and a half ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, they ripped the whole thing down. I mean, we spent hundreds of millions to revitalize it only to rip it down, and that's only compounding our Portland cement shortage problems, because now we don't have the fly ash that we need to blend with it. And then we have production problems here in the United States. We've got, we ever since the COVID pandemic or whatever, and we've paid people to stay home, they've gotten lazy or used to it, and some in many cases are still being paid not to go to work. So we're not running at full production capacity at any of our Portland cement plants up in Clarkdale, in Rialto, Arizona, the ones in California. We're not running at full production capacity. I hear they're running at maybe 50% production capacity. So we're lacking 30% of the fly ash that we used to blend with it. We're losing 50% of our production capacity. And for whatever reason, we're not bringing in the cement from the border. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. But I know this. If I was Arizona governor, I'd pick up the phone and call the head of CEMEX, the national head of CEMEX that I have programmed on my phone, and say, hey, now that I'm governor, we need to have a talk. We need to have a chat. We need to increase production. We need to motivate people. We need you to go lobby Biden. We need you to lobby Biden to ramp up production. Not pass an infrastructure deal of $1.2 trillion, that of which a trillion isn't infrastructure, only $200 billion is, and a trillion is basically human infrastructure, where you're paying for welfare and WIC and cell phones to illegals and hotels for illegals and paying for extended COVID unemployment and everything else. He's essentially created a recipe for disaster. He's creating the inflation. This is being done on purpose. It's being perpetrated on our people on purpose. I don't know why. Maybe to line the pockets of the wealthy. I'm not sure. The oligarchs that run the country. Who knows? But either way, this is a problem. I hear there's going to be food shortages by the end of the year. I hear there's fertilizer problems, because we usually import fertilizer at certain times of the year from Russia and Ukraine. We're not going to get that right now because there's a war. We haven't ramped up our production here on that either. And if you're paying people not to work, you're not going to ramp production up. Biden has essentially, without our authorization, instituted universal basic income without passing a law by using the COVID-19 pandemic to do it. That is crazy. It's wrong. And as governor of Arizona, I would sign executive orders right away to increase and ramp up production. I'd work with the Arizona legislature to put us in, we're in a state of emergency. Everything could collapse because we don't have people working. We need to get people working. That is important. People sitting at home getting paid basically universal basic income, you know, under the guise of COVID-19 unemployment, that needs to be over. COVID's over. I know China's locked down 28 million new people, but COVID's over as far as I'm concerned. I got it twice. I survived. I feel fine. I'm sure you do too. Let's move on. Let's work. I worked the entire pandemic. Many people did. People like me who wanted to survive and save our businesses and support our families kept working no matter what. And now it's time for all you people that were told to sit aside and sit at the house for 14 days to stop the spread, who've now been sitting home for 2 years. You need to get your butts back to work. We're done. And as Arizona governor, I'm going to put a stop to that. People are going to begin to work again. If I can work 20 hours a day, you can't. Well, I'm not saying everybody's built like me. Most people aren't. But you got to put your 8, 9, 10 hours of work in a day. You got to participate, or we are going to lose our country. Our country is going to collapse on itself under inflationary pressures caused by the lack of people wanting to work because they've been paid for far too long over the last 2 years not to work. That is the main cause of all this. It's people's inability or will not to work because they're being paid not to by Joe Biden. I'm done. Trump started it. Joe Biden has perpetuated it further into the abyss. And now we're at a situation where we could lose our whole country because people are not participating in the workforce. And I'm sorry, I know Elon Musk wants to build robots to do all this, but they're not built yet. And if they're not built yet, we still need to use our human infrastructure to build things.
Amen. Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor here on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. And, you know, I was in Florida during the housing boom. And we also have, Scott, we have craven people who need good citizens.
Yes, we do.
We need responsible citizens. In watching what happened with housing in Florida, let me take a quick break here and come back and do this, because this is illustrative, because even though you can't predict what will push it over the top, something will push it over the top, and then we'll be fully engulfed in it, and nobody wants that. We are back. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor. I want to touch on one thing in regard to our last national economic crisis, and that was in 2008, in regard to the whole housing crisis at that point.
I suffered through that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
As a business owner, I suffered through that.
We normally in this country can build and absorb about 1 million home units a year.
Yeah.
We built like 1.8 million 1 year, 2.1 the next, 1.8 the next. We had attorneys buying houses 40 at a clip. We had the mortgage fraud and things like that, the collateralized debt obligations.
People with no proof of income.
No proof of income. And then all of a sudden when the the insurance for those things was all going to be called on to a degree that it was had no capability of being able to bail out, the proverbial crap hit the fan. I don't know what triggers it this time, Scott, but the truth of the matter is that when you're carrying inflation numbers the way we are, and there's so much money washing around in the economy from printing of money and from the bills that they did, that's gonna come home to roost. I just can't tell you whether it's August 15th or November 12th. I can't tell you that, but there will be a trigger, and it will come home to roost, and it may be the worst thing we've ever seen.
I think it's going to be the worst recession we've ever seen. I think it's going to be worse than the 1920s Great Depression. I really do. I think it's going to make Obama's recession look small.
Yeah.
And it's scary. And I'm prepared to lose everything. I mean, I'm going to work hard not to.
Yeah.
But I'm prepared to be homeless if that's what it's going to be. I mean, I think a lot of us are going to be homeless at some point if this explodes and overflows into the thing that it might, which we all fear and we all see on the horizon. I mean, they're saying there's going to be food shortages by November, December. So around the holidays, we're going to be starving. I mean, possibly. I mean, hopefully not.
Yeah.
I mean, they're killing chickens in record numbers because they're saying the chickens are diseased. So they're killing chickens. And then other beef producers aren't producing at the rates they used to because they don't have the employees anymore. I don't know where all these employees went to. I mean, we had all these employees rocking and rolling, making us money and producing at the highest output that we've seen in decades under Trump, and now nobody wants to seem to work. I don't. I'm confused. I've worked the whole time. I don't know what's going on, other than people are getting paid not to work still.
Well, it's mysterious because even if, let's say somebody, most of that's supposed to be gone at this point. But even if somebody is yeah. still collecting, but at the same time, the thing that's just mystifying is I always felt it was better to have a job. The best way to get another job is from a job. But we've got to take a break here. Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor. And we will come back and talk more with Scott right after the 6:30 news. Thank you for being here today, Scott. And thank you for listening.
It.
We will go back and we will review what is the big story of the day, and that is the exclusion of two Republican candidates from the upcoming GOP-sponsored debates. That coming up right after news. We are back. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. Scott Neely, Republican candidate for governor, is with us this afternoon. Scott and Paula Tulliani-Zinn, another Republican gubernatorial candidate, both who, by the way, I just wanted to mention this to Tippi Hedren or Kelly Ward or whoever is the head of the Republican Party here today. I just wanted to mention, I know it's Kelly Ward, not Tippi Hedren. Tippi Hedren's actually attractive. But the thing I just wanted to mention here is that if you got the signatures, which is no, answer this for me, Scott Neely, getting the signatures is no easy task.
Not at all.
So
that was some of the hardest work I've ever had to put in my life, and some of the longest hours I've ever put in my life, besides work.
Well, and it's also, you know, there's a lot of sleaze that follows politics around. And so there were people who will go get signatures for you for $3, $4, or $5. And whoops, I lost all your signatures.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to do it again. There's a lot of corruption there. But the key thing is, if people have qualified for the ballot, as you and Paula Tuliani Zand have both qualified for the ballot, then forgive me, folks. I don't care if this offends somebody. Then, God damn it, they should be in the debates. It is unconscionable to exclude them from the debates. It is criminal. You want to talk about preserving our democracy? Let's start with the Republican Party and the upcoming debates. This is an outrage. Did I capture that correctly?
Yeah, you did. Certainly did. It sounds like you're just as angry as I am.
I'm furious with it. It's unconscionable. To me, there are a few things in life that I feel very strongly about. Honor and integrity are very important. There's not a lot of honor and integrity in
moral
this.
Moral and principle.
Moral and principle, but there's not a lot of honor and integrity in what the Republican Party is doing here. But beyond that, the word that I constantly hear from people is fairness. And there is something radically wrong with a situation where you qualify for the ballot, voters put their signature to your name, and you're excluded from a debate.
They want free and fair elections. That's what they tell me. That's what I want.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got to get this overturned. Folks, if you are a Republican Party voter, call the Republican Party tomorrow. Go to whatever these I don't use Twitter.
It's AZGOP.
AZGOP,
yeah, but on Twitter.
Go
at
there.
AZGOP on Twitter.
At AZGOP. Go there and light a fire under them. This is wrong. If everybody's included and the election turns out in a particular way with a particular result, so be it. But let's make sure that everybody has an opportunity to participate in these debates. And you know who you're cheating when you don't allow everybody in? You're cheating the voters, because they don't get the exposure.
It's called voter suppression.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. They talk about the other side. Well, if they're going to voter suppress candidates on this side, they're no different than the Democrats. I'm a Republican because my values align with the Republican Party. And if the Republican Party's own values aren't set in the same stone that mine are, we've got a real problem in our party. And if our party is sunk that low, we might as well start calling ourselves Democrats. You know?
Well, you know, the other thing about this, and I've interviewed at this point probably, I'm going to guess, 25 candidates for Attorney General, Secretary of State, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Governor, Senate, Congress. I've interviewed a lot of people at this point. If people mean what they say, especially with the Republican candidates there, I can see that Marcus, the Democratic candidate for governor, Marcus is probably not somebody I can count on in this. But I'm just giving
Marco Lopez.
I'm just giving Marco a little business there. But he's not responsible for it. He's a Democrat. But for Republicans who are involved in this, this is an atrocity, and they should be on the phone to Kelly Ward tomorrow. They should be texting. They should be doing the Twitter thing. They should be lighting that up, because this stinks. There is no way a qualified candidate for office should be excluded from the debates in the Republican Party. It's an outrage.
It almost feels like being excommunicated from a church. It's like my party has excommunicated me.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's unbelievable. And my values and theirs are the same. At least they should be. I mean, I'm conservative to the core. I would say I'm the most conservative candidate in the race. That's the way I believe. Based on my morals and the morals of the party and the principles of the party, I am the most conservative candidate in the race. When Trump used to talk about the forgotten man and woman, you know, and there was that painting, I am the forgotten man. I'm the guy that works out there in construction in 120-degree weather. I'm the guy that works with all those, you know, illegal alien hombres that some of my customers hire. I'm the guy that works with those people, you know, and they're not easy people to work with sometimes. You got to have some pretty thick skin and be a pretty tough guy yourself, and I am. And I work with those guys. I have the respect. I have the respect of the Mexican community across Arizona because I'm in concrete. I do infrastructure projects all over the state. I've been involved with APS, SRP, the nuclear power plant, Navajo Generating Station that they now tore down. I've been involved with the Central Arizona Project Canal projects, repairs and restorations on things. I've been over at the Horse Mesa Dam. I did repairs out there. I did an active avalanche where I had to grout some rocks as it was avalanching and moving down the hill. I mean, that was a dangerous job. The whole road could have collapsed and fell down, and I could have died. I do some dangerous, really tough stuff that takes intelligence and hard work and the will and the effort, and I put it in my business every day, and I'm willing to put that same effort in to running the state of Arizona. And I have relationships with all the infrastructure contractors across the state. All the largest contractors in the state of Arizona know who Scott Neely is. They know who I am. They do work with my business. I'm the guy they go to for the tough stuff. If it's a job that's going to be too tough for anybody to do, or if it's an impossible job that nobody can do, those are my jobs. Those are my challenges. I love challenges. I know nothing about politics, but now I'm on the ballot. My daughter, who's a genius, who graduated from ASU a year ago, orchestrated this entire campaign and got me on the ballot. She's a genius, Samantha Saldana, my daughter, my stepdaughter. God bless her soul. A wonderful daughter. Best daughter a man could ever have. And my two sons that I've taught in the trades, they graduate high school day after tomorrow. And I'm so proud of Felix Saldana and Tristan Neely. These are my sons. These are great kids that I've brought up in the trades, but they're also intelligent kids. They may go to business school, get a business degree. They may make my company bigger. I think they will. I've taught them well. While they're running the company, I'll be running the state of Arizona. And I'll be doing what's right for the people. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm not doing it for the fame. I'm doing it for the people. Because I understand what the problems are, and we need to solve them. Here's a major problem. Here's an issue. Most people don't know that 70% of Arizona's watershed comes from northern Arizona. Most people don't realize that. They all think it comes from the Colorado River, and that's not true. It comes from northern Arizona, all the way from Flagstaff through Payson, up through Pine Top, through Alpine, Greer. That whole area is our watershed, okay? We get a lot of snow up there in the winters. That's where most of our water funnels down into Roosevelt Lake and the other water systems that funnel down eventually into the Salt River, into the Salt River Project system. People aren't realizing that the forest itself sucks up a lot of water. And if you go back 150 years, we had about 11 ponderosa pine trees per acre. We currently have about 1,100 per acre. That's a problem. Most people don't see trees as a problem, but they consume water. Many a gallons of water per minute. And the more trees you have up there, because we're not doing logging and we're not properly managing our forest, and the fires are getting worse because the brush is getting thicker and the trees are getting too close together, and you have staggered tree sets that's allowing the fires to get all the way to the top of the trees. In the old days, you had those 11 ponderosa pines far away from each other, and they were tall, so the fires would be on the ground, but it wouldn't burn up to the top of the tree and completely incinerate it. Now it's all getting incinerated because the forest is getting drier, because it's having to share the watershed. The bark beetles are eating the trees because they're getting dry. They only get in there and do that when the trees get too dry. Trees are falling down. We got major issues. We need to clean the forest up and manage them. If we were to just remove half of the timber that's up there, not only would we create a ton of jobs, afford to sell a lot of timber and make a ton of money, but we would cut down the amount of water consumption of that forest by 10%. That would filter down into our water system and increase our water supply in Arizona here by 10%. Just by doing that. That is common sense. These are things nobody's talking about. But instead, let's just let it keep getting dried out, closer together, more trees, and then let the fires get worse and incinerate it. And then eventually, when it's all incinerated, you've got nothing but fly ash up there, poison water systems, and now we've lost 70% of our watershed. Nobody thinks about that. They're all focused on the Colorado River or building a desalinization plant in Mexico. Why don't we focus on our own water supplies? Why don't we start there?
And something else that has to be said in regard to that, and the 19 hotshots.
Yes.
That we lost giving their lives to fight fires that, based on the prescription that you outlined, may never have had to have been fought.
It may never have happened if we were properly managing our forests in our forests and still logging. You got to log responsibly. I'm not saying let's go back to 11 trees per acre. We want it to be beautiful. Let's chop half of it down. Let's do it responsibly. A lot of the trees are dead anyway. Let's chop those ones down.
While they're dead in terms of a different type of usefulness, they're still alive as a fuel source for fires. Scott, I thought that was an outstanding overview of things. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why you should be in these debates, is because this is information that needs to be heard. I have reached the point of where I am a very firm believer, and this is not a Trumpian thing, but I watch, I've been in the news media, I watch the news media very carefully. When Trump said the news media is the enemy of the American people, he was not far off. And the truth of the matter is that it is the failure of certain things to get coverage. It is the distortion of things. It is the dishonesty in regard to things. It is the lack of curiosity on the part of the media to, for instance, what you just went through there. You ever read that in the Arizona Republic?
I've read it nowhere.
Yeah.
And but it's common sense shared knowledge among people that know about these problems and issues. I've known about it for years.
But it doesn't fit the narrative.
No.
But and you know what? It is time that we... It is time that we stop paying homage to the narrative, but we in fact provide the information that gives us a full picture of what's going on, not the picture that just conforms to the narrative. Okay, 647, Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. We are back just about 8 minutes before 7 o'clock. Our thanks to Scott Neely, Republican candidate for governor, in the August 2nd primary, for being with us today. I will repeat this again, and then I'm not going to get off this, and that is that two candidates have been excluded from the upcoming debate on the 13th and the 18th of June. Scott Neely is one of them, and Paula Tulliani-Zenn has also been excluded from this. This is wrong. I'm going to be all over this. I'm not going to stop talking about this. It is wrong. It needs to be reversed post haste. Now, Scott Neely, while I have you here, obviously I had somebody here recently who was a candidate for Attorney General, and I said to her, Tiffany Shedd, I said to Tiffany, sorry, Tiffany, I mean, you may be a water lawyer, but water's boring, but it's really important, too.
Water's important. And it's extremely important.
Yeah, I hear people mentioning desalinization plants as a solution. Yes or no?
It is a solution, yeah. And other candidates, well, Kerry Lake, Doug Ducey, you know, he's our current governor.
Does Kerry Lake know what a desalinization plant is?
Well, I think she probably heard about it from Doug Ducey in his State of the State a while back, and when he was talking about building it in Mexico.
Oh, good place for it.
I think that's a bad place for it, okay?
Yeah.
Why would you put all that money, our money, into infrastructure inside of Mexico, and then pipe clean water towards Arizona that could, one, be stolen on the way here. They can put holes in that pipeline, steal water as it's flowing here. That's number one. But the most important thing is, what if that water was poisoned with large amounts of fentanyl before it got here, and then we recharge our, you know, underground aquifers with fentanyl-poisoned water? Then imagine what that would do to the water supply, the fish, us.
Yeah.
Kill a lot of people, kill a lot of things, kill a lot of animals. You know, we know Democrats love animals, so we don't want to kill those animals.
No.
Yeah.
It would be a terrorist attack.
It would be a terrorist attack. Yeah, and that can happen quite easily, right? Yeah. If you've got Mexico controlling your water supply, right, and it's being shipped this direction. I propose something that most people don't even realize would be an option. I propose, because we currently have a desalinization plant in Yuma. Did you know that?
I did not.
It was built in 1992. I used to see it as a kid. We'd go to the sand dunes and go ride bikes, and my dad told me, yeah, that was built for the farmers. It's basically when the water would come down the Colorado, when it get to a certain point, and then with the farming runoff, some of that, you know, farming runoff would run off into the Colorado, and it would make it a little bit salty. Not super salty like, say, the ocean water would be, but a little bit salty. So they built a desalinization plant in Yuma to treat that water, but it's for low salinity. My proposal would be to maybe take that current desalinization plant, make it 10 times bigger, spend that $1 billion instead of in Mexico, let's spend that $1 billion in Yuma. Let's use the new Israeli technologies to desalinize ocean water. Let's have two pipes, one that comes this way to bring the water that we're going to clean up, and then pipes that go throughout the state that we can, you know, essentially put it, recharge our water systems here. And then we'll have a pipe that goes back for the waste that go the other direction, because you're going to have a wastewater pipe too. So we'll send the wastewater back towards the Sea of Cortez. And we can also package salt. We can have salt licks. We can have, salt for pools. We can have, you know, rock salt, you name it. But we can have a salt plant there right next to the desalinization plant to help pay for that, you know. That would be a profitable little business to sell salt from the desalinization plant in Yuma. But the most important part of this whole picture is that it's going to be in the United States of America. Now, the pipe can be in Mexico. We don't care about that. We don't even care if the water's poisoned on the way here, because it's dirty water anyway. Once it gets here, we're going to desalinize it. So poison it all you want. We're going to take the poison out of it anyway. Not a problem. So and then we don't have to worry about them stealing water. Who's going to steal dirty salt water on the way here? Nobody. And the best part is we don't have to worry about anybody, any politicians laundering money back into their pocket through corrupt Mexican officials, you know. And we don't have to worry about the terrorism that could occur if it was in Mexico and we were sending clean water this way. These are common sense solutions. These aren't solutions anybody else has talked about but myself. I'm the only one who's talked about this. Why can't we do it in America? Why can't we desalinize in Yuma? Why can't we do it that way and protect our own water resources? Because in my opinion, our water energy security is number one in Arizona, because we are a dry, hot state that's running out of water. And we're building at a record pace, unlike we've ever built before. We've never built at the pace we're building currently. Everybody from California wants to move here. Everybody from the East Coast wants to move here. We have the best weather 7 months out of the year. We have the best weather in the United States. We essentially have Hawaii weather 7 months out of the year. We have 5 months that are hot. We have 7 months that are Hawaii. We're heaven for 7 months out of the year. That's why so many people move here. But we have to look at common sense ways of creating new water supplies for ourselves that we can have control over. I don't want Mexico to have control over my water energy security.
And I'm going to add something here as an editorial comment, and that is that your authority in regard to this discussion, first of all, of the nature of the forest issue in the state, but also now in regard to water, that is something that Republican voters need to hear. That is something that is a difference maker. Unfortunately, not just in this state, but across the country, the media engages in narratives and headlines and things like that, and not depth. The media has a responsibility to do journalism, which it once did. It has a responsibility to do that, and I don't think there's ever been a time where there has been a greater need for that to be done, and also, candidly, to knock back and call people out on some of this BS stuff, to have a new White House spokesperson who's calling Republicans racists in fairly large numbers is sick. That's got to stop, and we have got to put the emphasis on the things that really matter. Scott, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
This was an informative program. Scott Neely and Paul Vatulianni Zen, two Republicans who have qualified for the ballot, are being denied the opportunity to participate in the next debates. That stinks, and it's got to change. Right up against the end of the program, thank you for being here. We'll see you again real soon.
Thank you.
Scott Neely, Republican candidate for governor. We are back tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock right here on 1100 KFNX.